You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, real quick, want to give a shout-out to James up in Stoneville, North Carolina. He's a friend of the show. Hell, he's a friend of the family now. We were able to go ahead and help his family recently save more than $1,200 a month. Really think about this. My man Robbie didn't save $1,200 one time. He's going to save it each and every month, all because he went to SaveWithConrad.com. He left us a 5-star review earlier this week, and he said this: from the first phone call with Christian, all the hard work Diane put in, Jennifer taking time to explain things and help me understand where we were at with the deal, right up to Steve helping me get this survey through, nothing but professionalism all around. Dealing with First Family has helped us to the point we've cut $1,200 a month off our bills. I can't say enough about the team Conrad has assembled. I highly recommend First Family to anyone looking to purchase or refinance their home. Thanks to Conrad and the entire First Family team. No, thank you, James, for the great review, and congratulations on saving $1,200 a month. And oh, by the way, you can skip your next two house payments. It's real, folks. SaveWithConrad.com can help you. We're licensed in more than 40 states, but if you've got credit card debt, if you're looking to save money on your monthly payments, if you're looking to pay your house off faster, or even buy a house with no money down, SaveWithConrad.com is your hookup. Holler if you hear me. That's SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. And oh, by the way, you don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. What are you waiting for? Find out how much money you can save for free at SaveWithConrad.com.
DDP Snake Pit fans, what is going on? It's time for another edition of Snake Pit, presented to you exclusively by AdFreeShows.com and Podcast Heat. I, of course, am John Alba. This week, joined by the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Diamond Dallas Page. Jake the Snake Roberts is on sabbatical this week. I had him the last couple of weeks. Now it's just you and I flying here. How you doing, Dallas? Good to see you again.
Doing great. Doing great, man. Coming off, I wanted to talk about today, what happened over this last weekend, just passed. You had Extreme Rules on Saturday, and then you had the season premiere of Raw. And the biggest thing I take away from both of those shows, the biggest thing, we're in an era right now where, people who watch wrestling, they're smart. They understand. It's not like, oh my God, is wrestling real or not? Yes and no. The hardest thing to do, and what you've seen happen, is like it goes back to the NWO. Even back then, even though they were heels and there were people who hated them, people loved them. They were like that, tweener, spot. And as time went on from then, it's really hard to get real heat in professional wrestling. That's the biggest compliment I can give to the new regime that's over there at WWE right now. They're getting real heat. And it's not just a couple of guys or girls. It's multiple people. And I think the biggest thing to start off with, I look at that pay-per-view match with Gunther and Sheamus and all the boys that got involved in that. I mean, that shit looked real to me.
Buddy. I mean, oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. So I was in the arena for this show, And I thought what I loved, and I'd love to break this down with you because I know pacing is a big part of all your matches. I thought those six guys did something better than most WWE talent have done in recent years. And that was, in between all these big spots in this hardcore match, they would take a couple seconds to breathe and let the crowd soak in what they were seeing with all the chaos. They would play to the camera a little bit. They'd hit a pose. It's such an old school, easy way to tell a story and get a reaction from a crowd in wrestling. And I thought these six guys just crushed it in terms of invoking emotion and getting people invested in a wild hardcore match.
No, 100%. But the biggest thing is the heat that Gunther and his boys have.
Imperium's
like,
awesome.
They have real heat. Like people, like right now, they hate them. I mean, they really hate them. At some point, possibly they love to hate them, but I don't see it, you know, because this is a classic feud. Like it reminds me of something like Rhodes and Funk. You know, if you go back to that time, as far as the, you know, just the brutality and the, you know, believability of beating the living hell out of each other and for the fans' approval. And both of these guys, really all of them, all six of them, like to work stiff, you know, so they're coming with it and people can tell like, whoa, there ain't nothing fake about that, you know, but again, the heat, the roar of the crowd, you know, that's what, you know, has really been missing more than anything, I think, in wrestling. I think sometimes it becomes a spot fest. From what I'm seeing, what were there, five matches on that actual card? Was it five?
I think it was six, I think.
Six?
I think it was. I'm gonna pull it up as we talk here.
Yeah, pull that up. I think it was five. It might have been. You might have taken in the pre-show. Look on the card. Was it six?
Pulling up right now. It was six matches. Six matches.
Yep. Okay. So it's still six is a great number. Last time they had five. At the castle, they did five matches, which does what? It gives the talent time to tell stories in the ring. Plus, they're telling their story before they come out, which the WWE does. Has always done better than anybody, even better than WCW back when we were beating their ass. You know, they just tell stories of what happened to get to this moment, you know, and they build all that anticipation. But that was a great way to start it off. So big thumbs up to that.
Can I ask you something real quick about Sheamus? Because sure. I've never heard your thoughts on Sheamus before. This is a guy who's been around dating back to 2009 now. He's had world championship runs. But I think right now, due to the great heel work of Gunther, I mean, this guy is more over than he's ever been. And he's working matches that fit his style perfectly. What do you think of Sheamus's impact on WWE and what his ultimate run will look like when all is said and done?
He's absolutely a Hall of Famer without question. Dusty Rhodes, who I talk about all the time, told me about him before I'd ever seen him on TV, you know, and he came in with a hell of a push going in, and he could be back in the world championship race like that. At any point in time, they could pop him in. Again, for all the reasons that make a wrestler, a top guy, look, size, rap, believability. I think he's reinventing himself again and just upping everything because he's in phenomenal condition. I worked here at my performance center. He came in and we did some DDP yoga together. And when he was doing his stuff on his video thing that he has, his show that he does, you know, every week about it. He exercises with everybody all over the world. But I think he's had a hell of a run. I think there's times where you have to work your way down the card to work your way back up the card. It's just the way the business goes. And I think, especially now, the reaction that he's getting has been phenomenal.
Some of the biggest of his career. Some of the biggest of his career.
Where was Extreme Rules at?
It was in Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly, right. And those fans.
Tough crowd.
Very tough crowd. Really, the Northeast is a tough crowd in general. So if they're behind you and with it, and they were with it. I mean, that crowd was a white hot crowd.
Yeah, and I think it's just so cool that at this late in his career, he found his wrestling soulmate. Right, like Gunther is the perfect complement to him in every way. Every single match they've had is awesome. They had a legitimate.
How do I say Gunther?
So the German pronunciation is Gunther.
I should know that since I am German. I should know.
There you go. But
I love that kid. I think
amazing.
He's got reminds me of a Dick Murdoch, you know. And because Dick Murdoch could really go. He could wrestle, but he's a brawler. He's believable as hell, too.
He's in amazing shape now. He really got himself cut. But even when he came in as Walter and had just the normal body, he reminded me of like an old school Hulk Hogan heel that you would see in the 80s. Just a big, brawling brute who was a great technician at the same time. I mean, man. They got a lot of money in him, and I'm really excited to see him climb the card. Go ahead.
He's got a great future ahead of him, no question. You could really – he's the kind of cat you could pop him in. And really all the top guys, you could pop them in any time period, the 60s, mm-hmm. 70s, the 80s, 90s. I mean, you could pop him in anywhere, and he's going to be he's going to make his own way.
Yeah. After that, we had Ronda Rousey win the SmackDown Women's Championship from Liv Morgan. So Ronda, again, man, building those accolades. She continues to pile them on. What do you think of the work she's doing right now?
Well, my little Jersey girl, because I'm a Jersey boy. When I saw my little girl out there with the world title, I was super happy for her. But, and she did some really cool stuff during the match. Liv, she's a sweetheart. I know you asked me about Ronda. I'll get to that in a second.
Sure. No, by all means.
I thought she did a hell of a job, surviving. Because, Ronda's, she's the great white shark. And she is the shooter, and she's not going to step out of her groove. And Liv took a hell of an ass kicking out there. And like I said, she had some big spots, and the crowd went crazy. But Ronda was going to walk out of there with that world title.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Do you like Ronda more as a heel than a babyface?
Absolutely. She's, behind the scenes, she is, I know her and her husband, I don't know her that well, but, they're really sweet people, like just down to earth sweet people. When that girl is walking through the curtain, she's a beast, and she was a beast in UFC and, had the way she tailed out of there. Is that the person? It's kind of like what happened with Mike Tyson. She is a Mike Tyson. Like when she was in her groove and owning it, nobody could beat her. When she got to that one spot where she did get beat, then it was time for her to come and do our stuff. you know, because she'd had the run as the toughest woman on the planet. And she's going to keep that title forever, because the only reason there is women's, you know, mixed martial arts, because of Ronda Rousey. Like, she's a trailblazer. And going out there and doing, you know, what she did, she went out there and she owned it. And very tough for, you know, I do see a Bianca Belair match in the future. And that could be a hell of a build, because that girl, you know, her and Bayley, we'll get to that match. They had a hell of a match. But Bianca, she's a real deal, too.
Let's talk about it then. I think Bianca Belair has a potential to be one of the biggest stars ever in WWE. I genuinely mean that. The way she connects with crowds, male, female, adult, child, whomever it may be, there is an authentic connection where people want to see her succeed. And as you know, she is a physical beast. What she is capable of doing, she is an athlete, and I genuinely see top star potential in her. Do you share that sentiment?
Well, she's already there. Mm-hmm. Now it's how long can you hold it? And she's going to hold on to it as long as she stays healthy, you know, because, you know, when you're out there, her and Bayley, she's a warrior.
Amazing. Amazing.
She'd gone for a year, you know, she didn't miss a beat. You know, she was out there, and like when she did the KOD with the impressive with the two girls on top, you know, that was a lot of balance and stuff, but that was super impressive. But when she did the KOD with the ladder, and if you go back and watch that in slow motion, Bayley reminds me a little bit of Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. And what I mean by that is, like, if Henning was in the corner and Warrior was, you know, hitting him with the punches, eventually he's going to take that punch where he's going to come out of the turnbuckle and go over the top rope to the floor. Now, if you watch that in slow motion, you'll see he never lets go of that rope he's holding on to. And as he's lowering, his next hand is grabbing the middle rope. And as he's lowering, his bottom hand would grab the bottom rope. So it just lessened the impact of that. If you Bayley couldn't really protect herself in this scenario, but what she did on that flip through and how she pulled the ladder underneath her, like, that's a very dangerous bump. And she did it perfectly. You know, she did it perfectly. The whole match was, you know, I mean, this card from top to bottom, you know, I was with it the whole way through.
Yeah.
And there are times where in wrestling, I just go fast forward, you know, because I don't watch stuff live normally, so I can fast forward. I just fast forward to the breaks in between if I saw the story and I knew what the story was. If I haven't seen it, I'm watching the story because I love the way they, again, the WWE tells that story stuff. Which brings us, I want to go back to Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre. I'm not a fan of the strap matches and stuff because I want to see the guys really wrestle. And I was wondering, God, why aren't they doing, you know, the 10 count? But then I realized why, you know, when I watched back and saw that they had just done that, you know, they were going to do that, I should say, moving forward. But I thought those guys did a hell of a job of what they had to work with. And you know, bringing Karrion the way he came in, you know, it was so funny. I was sitting next to him at Ric Flair's last match.
Yep.
And I don't mean at the match I was sitting next to him. I was sitting next to him as we did autograph signings. And I was busy as hell, and he was busy, and, you know, I didn't get a chance until the very end to, and have you ever seen Karrion, have you ever seen him do Jesse Ventura?
That's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing. I used to do a great Ventura. He blows mine away. Really funny, entertaining, which shows he has all those chops. And I'd been watching all that stuff. And then I looked over and I realized it was him. And I said to him, we took some pictures. And I said to him, dude, at some point you're going to end up in one of these two top companies. And it's going to happen for you. Don't ever stop doing what you're doing. And then a couple of weeks later, boom, he might have known that already. And, that he was coming in. I don't know if he did or not. But next thing you know, he's there and they're starting his stuff with Drew. And Drew, I'm always a bigger fan of Drew McIntyre than me. He's one of my boys, you know. And he went out there and, I thought he brought Karrion up to where he needed to be. It was a good, I thought, screw finish at the end. If you're going to do the job as a babyface to the heel, you want to be screwed in some way. And his girl getting involved and doing the bear spray or whatever the hell they were doing. The
pepper spray, yeah.
Yeah, he sold that like a son of a bitch. And, and then he could do the job to him. It didn't hurt Drew in any way. It's building up. Drew's going to get his comeback on him, but you don't want to bring a big, bad, good-looking, entertaining son of a bitch like Karrion in and then beat him. You don't want to do that.
What do you think Scarlett does for his presentation?
I think she's gorgeous. It's a shoot wife. I think she has a real presence out there. I like her. Want to try to keep her heel because, normally like I had Kim, and I took all that from, I took all that from Randy. Because look and see what worked before you, and then try to make it your own. And of course, Randy would end up being my biggest, everything. He put me on the map in such a way that I don't even recall someone having one match that changed their career as much as Randy changed mine.
Mm-hmm.
All the timing was there. But, looking at Scarlett and you got a gorgeous woman like that, people eventually want to, like her, And just like Mark Merrow was Sable, It was hard. So when you, depending on how you use her, right now he's using her perfectly, get her involved and make her, that heel spot, and keep her there. And again, he's got heat. He doesn't have the heat yet, but he's got to do things to get to that spot, that will bring him that heat. But I think that kid is total money, top guy. And, Drew, they could have a really long lasting feud out of this, I think.
Were you surprised that Drew was not the guy to beat Roman at Castle?
I was totally surprised. I was blown away. But, and I'll talk about the bloodline when we talk about Raw.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of understand it now. At the time, I was like, man, why would not – that's the spot. Even if you took it off the next night, But, I thought Drew should have went over there. But, again – it didn't hurt him. It's kind of like I look back at my career and, not getting it makes the fans want it for you even more. And when I got that first United States Championship, the place went crazy. And I won it off one of the greatest ever, Mr. Perfect, Curt Hennig. So I couldn't have had a better guy to drop the strap to me, So, I, again, it, this was a great pay-per-view.
Yeah.
America starts the day with America in the morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Well, we saw a near 30-minute I Quit match between Finn Balor and Edge. There was a lot of gaga on this one, but Beth Phoenix would come back, and it was a really, in my opinion, well-told story throughout that saw Edge only finally give up when his wife was about to take a concerto from Rhea Ripley, and eventually she ends up taking it anyway. And this, Dallas, you talk about heat. This had the most heat in the building of anything that entire night. What'd you think of it?
It's everything. And I've been talking about them for weeks now. I loved Judgment Day with Edge in it. And I called them, you know, I text them like, dude, love this. And makes me want to watch. And then to pull him out, because there's certain guys, it's tough to be the heel. You know, you want that person to be the baby face, you know, and Edge is that guy. So making him that, you know, that heel for a minute and then flip. And now he's got all these guys to work with. There's so many things that came out of this. First of all, they had real heat coming in, but adding Dominic took it to a different level.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
What could listen to the crowd? Mm-hmm. Listen to the crowd of all the people out there, and they've got real heat. All four of them. All right, but the heat that Dominic is the father-son thing, you know, the whole thing with Ray. Again, I'm not a big fan of, you know, the I quit, because you're always putting the cat, you know, the microphone in their mouth. Yeah. Do the standing, last man standing. But again, they were already going to do that. So that's something that was going to be coming in different matches, you know? So now I understand why they didn't do that one. But once you got past that 15-minute mark, somewhere around there, and the shenanigans started happening, which brought the crowd up and up and up. And they built that, you know, from, let me see, I don't want to forget what I was going to say here. When Edge speared Finn through the ropes onto the guys on the floor, I'm always looking for what's the next thing are we going to see that hasn't been done. And I don't remember ever seeing that. It might have been done, but I don't remember ever seeing that like that with a group that meant so much. And then, of course, Rhea handcuffing him. You're thinking, okay, how's he going to get out of this? And a great movie is all about seeing a different spot of, oh, my God, how is he or how is she going to get out of this? And then, of course, they do, because it's already predetermined. But it's still like you want to know. And then bring in, Ray in, and then Dom in, and they milk that spot. And if you listen, like, Dominic doesn't even have to say anything. Like, they want Ray to beat his ass. You know, your kid steps out of line, you know, a lot of people say you shouldn't, but sometimes he needs to be slapped. Like right across the face to be remembered who the hell's, you know, respect. And, you know, this is something that I'm sure Ray is loving doing and also hurting at the same time, because it's his kid and he's such a, to know Ray Mysterio, and I know him pretty good, you know, after being with him for so long. When I was at Flair's Last Standing, I was at, you know, at the show and I was leaving. Ray, I hear Ray, D. I turn around, hey, Ray, calls me Dominic. You know, and he's so proud of his son. I like it so much. And now he's doing the hair slicked back. And he's got that little, that like, he mostly put some kind of powder on him, like that vampire type thing that got going or whatever. Because his face looks like, just like, it kind of looks like Rhea a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you know that they're having this, you know, that's that, you know, little thing that they got going over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I was booking, I would have, as this goes on, I would have Dominic beat anyone that he gets in front of. Because if you push him like that, they're going to hate him even more. A la The Rock. Remember they gave him that big push, he was Rocky Maivia? The people hated him. Rock is the most beloved human being on the planet right now. You know, he's not the people's champion. He's the world's champion, you know? And, but it, when you got, when you're pushing someone in wrestling that they don't think should be pushed, it gets that other level of heat. But right now he doesn't even need it because he goes to say anything and they go crazy.
My one thing with Dominic, I think he's really talented and I like him. I think that he needs to utilize this opportunity with Judgment Day to become more than just Rey Mysterio's son. And however they do that, leaning into something character-wise with him or giving him this extra layer, that will help him going forward. Because when he is teaming with Rey, he's Rey Mysterio's son. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's his character. So let's see now him take that next step and find something to really sink his teeth into. And I'm with you where I think this Rhea Ripley stuff might be able to allow for him to do that. What do you think of what this group is doing for Finn Balor? Because I thought Finn Balor was amazing in that match.
Amazing. You know, again, the WWE, this is, you know, we talk about this new regime was, you know, was in there and calling what's happening. I knew when Hunter finally got a hold of the booking of it, it was going to change and be more wrestling oriented, hence less matches, more time for matches, because that's where the stories really get told and the talent really gets made. Finn has stepped up, you know, and they've given Finn a lot of spots, you know, championships, but they never really gave him the real push. Now he's getting that within every one of them. They're talented. They look good, but they can deliver in the ring. And that's, and Finn of all of them is the master. You know, Finn can do anything. And I think what he just did in that match with him, he got over big time as a worker. He's always been as high as you can get. But as a character and a heel, he took it to that next level.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about the pay-per-view, that each person, you know, as they went through their line, got their spot. And what they did coming out, you know, just on Raw as well, you know, getting to see the reaction of the people, that's what I go by. You know, when they did Beth coming out, again, these are layers of pops that really mean a lot, especially when you're going to go 30 minutes. Man, she just lit it up. And then to stop her the way they did and then do, like, you're thinking, how are they going to get, like, what I was seeing at one point. Okay, I don't want to mix this up. I'll keep it here. I'll say, because I've got so much wrestling on
my mind. I've got you.
I'm on wrestling overload. When she did the chair spot.
Yeah.
And you thought, okay. I knew right as soon as Beth was in there, I knew how he's going to submit. But I didn't, because he's never going to submit.
Of course not.
Oh, yes, he will. If it's his wife, because you get the gun, you drop the gun, and now they're pointing the gun at your wife, what are you going to do? You're going to drop the gun. You know, it happens in every movie, right? So I didn't see her coming through and going through and doing it anyway. And Rhea really, you know, coming through with that chair and hitting
her. It was perfect.
Oh, it was, and she's vicious. Yeah. I believe Rhea the way I believed China. You know?
It's a hell of a compliment. It's a hell of a compliment.
Yeah, you know, it is. But, man, they did it the right way. And, you know, I can't say enough about that. You know, it was really well done. And I know it sounds like I'm blowing the WWE, but I'm not. I'm only going to talk about shit that I really like, mm-hmm. you know. And if I don't talk about it, then it didn't really move the needle on me as much.
Sure.
You know, but the stuff that did, like, and I've been putting that Judgment Day over, it's not the NWO. It's not, you know, the Four Horsemen. They're their own thing. They've created something different, you know, and again, really hard to do in professional wrestling. You know, again, there's better than and there's less than. And anyone who's not the best is less than, unless they're different than. And that's what, you know, that entire crew, Finn and Priest and, you know, Rhea, Dom, I mean, they're all different than.
Yeah. Well, that got us to our main event, which was Fight Pit. Which, let me tell you something, Dallas, the Fight Pit structure in person is wildly impressive. It looks pretty freaking incredible in person. And I thought on TV it looked pretty good, too. And Seth Rollins, once again, proven he's one of the true MVPs of pro wrestling here, man. He is a special kind of talent that can adapt to anybody. I thought he and Matt Riddle had a real good match. Daniel Cormier being in there was a cool little twist on that. And it was a big way of putting Matt Riddle over, that's for sure, to end this show in terms of the in-ring action. What'd you think of that?
Again. What's that? Yeah, first of all, I love the cage. I thought it was unique and different. Love the way it went over the ring post because there were no ropes there. That was something that's never really been done before, you know? And again, when do you get to see something that's never been done before? And someone in the color had said, I'm not sure exactly who said it, but that Riddle had a lot to do with this Fight Pit thing. They walk around the top, loved it, but God, how are they going to get out of that? You know, again, and of course, Seth taking the diamond cutter / RKO. And then the way he pulled up Kurt Hennig, he started rolling and he grabbed a hold of that, you know, aluminum pipe and let himself down. And it was impressive. I did not see Riddle coming and doing what to me, I'll call a coffin drop. Cause that's what, you know, our boy Darby is kind of made famous. On his back landing, God, what a dangerous bump. What a dangerous bump. And, man, on both sides, to take the trust. Because if he's just 4 inches less and his ass lands on his guts.
Breaks a couple ribs there, yeah.
It's like the top athletes in this business have a sense of skill and luck that, and I mean all around. And you'll see, because there's some bloopers of guys, not WWE guys, but guys who are in independent shows, trying different things that they can't do because they're not doing this with the frequency that an AEW or WWE would be doing it. You're not, it's reps. Everything is about reps and confidence. And just like Sammy Guevara, you know, with that diamond cutter that he hit on Cody, springing onto one, you know, ladder and then pushing off and hitting that perfect cutter, you know, is the same thing as what Matt Riddle is coming off that top of that cage. And no fear. You know, he goes, he absorbs so much of that on his glutes, in his spine. Seth felt a lot of it too, but Matt took a lot of that. And what great athletes. I mean, that was a hell of a pay-per-view. Here he is, Seth Rollins, doing the job again. Does it hurt him? Zero. It elevates him and prepares him for two nights later. You know, and gets what they're going to do two nights later. And, man, again, I'm always putting over Rollins because the cat's that good.
He's an all-timer. He's that good. I mean, he is. He is an all-timer. He's truly.
And, you know, he's one of, you know, guys at Triple H back in the beginning. You know, down at his, he's the guy who started NXT. Mm-hmm. Triple H, it was his idea to put that together. And these are the guys who have come out, are all the guys that are on top. And getting Riddle, it made him, he was already on his way with Randy to being that top guy, but he wasn't there yet. Tonight, or I should say Saturday night, put him there.
Yeah.
He is now there. And then, you know, Monday again. And, you know, let's roll right into Monday, but can give me a.
Yeah, well, before I do that, Dallas, real quick, that wasn't the end of the show. Keep in mind.
Right. God, how did I forget that? How did I forget that?
Because instead, after, you know, I wouldn't blame you because they, you know, they showed the little graphic. They say, oh, all right, this is it. Have a good night. Then the lights go out. And what do you know? The White Rabbit himself, Bray Wyatt, returns. It's this really, really exceptional live experience return. It came off incredible on TV. It was, and I no hyperbole here. I've covered March Madness. I've covered the NBA playoffs for an arena. That was one of the loudest reactions to anything I've ever heard in person when he came out and revealed his face. It was truly gripping and just absolutely incredible television. What did you think of Bray Wyatt's return?
I just love the way they've teased it all the way through, you know, and I also saw Triple H on an interview talking about it and not him bringing him in, but, you know, just because he is one of those creative cats who you got to hold them down. You know, meaning Bray, you know, that's the way Triple H had talked about it anyway, because he's got all these crazy ideas. And bottom line is, that's some really good shit, man. Like, what they, how they went to the crowd and showed the different little characters from his little, you know, playhouse. Really cool. The lights are all out there, and then you think you're not going to see it, and then, boom, the door opens and you see. I mean, the timing, this is, I always thought Bray should have beat Taker, and he becomes the next Taker. That's, you know, because Taker can only go so long. Who's going to get that next spot? And I always thought it was him. I talked about it for years. Why would Brock beat him? Brock didn't need to beat him. If Bray beat him, and I just think a lot of how they handled Bray was really good in the beginning before, but then it sort of lost and got a little tarnished.
Yes.
And then they brought him back with that new style of character. And I thought, okay, where's he going with this? And it just went and fizzled out.
Yeah.
And they let him go. And I was like, oh my God, how soon before Tony goes pick him up? And then you didn't hear anything. And couldn't have been better than just to sit and wait. And when he revealed last night, on Saturday night originally, when they showed that, and they showed him reveal and then go back in the door. Now, that to me left everybody with, like, give him it and then take it away. Like, that was magic. And my question is, that character, how do you make him a heel? Because he is, they're going to love him no matter what he does. And maybe he does, maybe they listen to the crowd and they keep him the baby face because they got a lot of heels now.
Yeah.
And they've been building these heels. This has just happened over the last 3 months. So this isn't something that was happening 9 months ago. It's a different animal. So
I think with Bray, you just let him be what the crowd dictates he is. And
I agree. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Because what the thing that the WWE loves to do more than anything is let think you're getting something and then flip it up. And they prove that going into the season premiere. Now, I got to tell you, for years, whenever I tape the show, I'm going to zip through the whole beginning. I'm not going to watch the beginning. But as it started to come on and I saw the DX thing, it stopped me. I thought, okay, wait, I've been doing that for years. Let's watch this one. And when I watched that opening and just the walk to the ring, the bloodline, and the swag, not just being themselves. Like they have really, as a unit, like, you know, what's the nephew just came in?
Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa. My apologies.
Solo Sikoa. Yeah, I watched him on NXT a couple times, and
he's impressive.
Yes, but you know he fits right in. And I love that he's got the blonde hair and, you know, that Sammy and Jimmy have really come into their own through this. Jay and Jimmy have really come into their own. And then Sammy.
Unbelievable. he is doing something very special right now with Sami Zayn.
And to me, they are their own thing, their own thing. Again, this is something that it's hard to do. You know, once especially the Four Horsemen had their thing and the NWO had their thing. So everything will be compared to that. But this is different. And I'm sort of bummed Jake wasn't here today because I wanted to talk about this. Because when you listen to Roman talk, he has – it's his own thing, but it's kind of reminiscent of Jake a little bit, where you don't ever hear Roman yell. You don't hear him like, you know, he will tune it up, but he keeps that composure that Jake could do, you know, and it's different. And the way he's doing it, like I listen to him and I watch him, I'm like, man, he is the man. And that's why Drew didn't beat him.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't done. He wasn't ready to walk away. He might have less dates or whatever, but he don't have to do anything. He's in that spot, and I love Paulie there. You know, I love freaking Heyman. You know, because he plays his part. You talk about knowing your role. Every one of those guys knows their role. And when, you know, it cracked me up. And I, again, bringing out friggin' the original bro, bringing out Riddle, it I was like, oh, this is going so good. And I was afraid it was going to screw it up, but it didn't. Because soon as Sammy got involved, like that whole thing, that was really, really well done.
Well, the beauty is we all know where this story is going with Sami Zayn. We all know how this all ends up. And it's going to
catapult. But maybe you don't. But maybe the way the booking is right now, maybe you don't.
It's a fair point.
Maybe you don't.
But ultimately, it seems like this is a great way to do a long-term story, to catapult Sami Zayn to become a big-time babyface once again.
And oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You can never have enough baby faces that people care about, because when people care about baby faces, that translates to money. That's business for everybody. and great stories to be told. I love all this Bloodline stuff. I'm going to place a bet there, Dallas, that Sami Zayn's going to be a babyface sometime soon.
No, and- I'm not saying he's not. I'm not saying, but it might be different than the way we think it's going to be, it only because, you know, let's look at that first match with Johnny G and Austin Theory. Hell of a match. You got to believe the Theory's going over because of the push that he's got up till now. But no, Johnny G, Mr. Wrestling, that was a huge win for him and a mark of saying, you know what I did at NXT. I'm here tonight and I'm going to make my own mark. Yep. In Theory, those guys had a hell of a match. A hell of a match. It told a good story. I would like to see them slow down a little bit, you know, get a little more out of that. But Johnny G, like, freaking, they both had a, I mean, they did some moves. There was a couple things I saw that I'd never even seen before. You know, that was like, again, really hard to make up new shit. You know, but those guys dug into it, you know, and they go back to NXT days. So the hell of a deal. And yeah, it was a big deal for Johnny to get that win. It marked him up, man.
Again, it's an easy bet that someone like Johnny Gargano is going to have a hell of a match. And if you want to make some easy bets, Dallas, we got a way to help people do that here on DDP Snake Pit. And that is with MyBookie. Your favorite athletes always strive to put themselves in a winning position, and it's about time you did too with MyBookie. MyBookie is the biggest online selection of odds and contests to fill all your sports betting needs anytime, anywhere. Bet on the NFL, MLB playoffs. Play for a share of big cash prizes in the weekly blackjack tournaments. If you've been waiting for the right time to get in on the action, that time is now. Make your winning move today, and you can sign up at MyBookie using promo code SNAKEPIT to claim your deposit match of any amount up to $1,000. Again, that's promo code SNAKEPIT to claim your bonus. Experience sports in a whole new light and make the season a winning one. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Dallas, my New York Yankees, they're in the playoffs right now as we tape this. By the time this airs, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I'm sure hoping it is. And I'll think about using my bookie to maybe put some money down on them.
I've told you about my luck with booking bets, okay? But as of last week, I'm not telling you who I bet on,
okay,
or zero, but I won both those bets with my bookie. So
there you go.
I'm on a positive run here. So I'm going to keep it going. And I encourage any of you guys, if you're going to be placing it, go with my bookie.
Okay. All right.
My personal, by the way, my personal bookie.
There you go. Making it easy for you.
Now we're in this where I was starting to get a little bit confused talking about my judgment, you know, Judgment Day, you know, from Saturday night. But this continues over in and out of the Gable and Ray, which, of course, anything with Mysterio and Gable, it's going to be a great match again.
Yeah.
But what happened afterwards? That's the stuff that, again, shows you how hot and how much heat that they really have and how they fed into the end of that match, which gave it all the real pops.
This felt like a Raw after WrestleMania with some of the stuff that they were pulling off here. And we would see AJ Styles returning and eventually the Good Brothers help him to...
Wait, back in that, okay? Because before the Good Brothers showed up, you know, Gallows and Anderson, before they showed up, and I'm thinking there's no way AJ's, you know, going to come with this, you know? So I'm thinking that, okay, it could be AJ... AJ, Edge, Ray, and Beth against, like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, looking, you know, is this the way they're going? And then they went again. That's why I said you can think you know, but then they go, and I got a pretty good handle on booking, you know, that, oh, okay, better selection. But this, because it gets them into another thing, because they got to eventually get away from this angle and work your way into the next one. So, you know, I loved it when Gallows and Anderson showed up. And
they're the best, aren't they? They are the coolest dudes in the world.
They're fun.
They're so great. And maybe there is an opportunity to pay this off at, like, Survivor Series, where you could get the Good Brothers, AJ, Edge, and Beth versus Judgment Day. And all, there's that whole I mean, you could do a traditional Survivor Series tag match there too. So,
and that's what I was I was thinking could happen, because we are in October. Mm-hmm. It's November next, which is Survivor Series. So I thought that's what they were setting it up for. But then it flipped the other way, because, you know, AJ is going to be the babyface in this scenario, because they've just built these guys into monster heels now. And again, their reaction that they're getting is friggin' phenomenal. And this is where Ray and Dom square off, right? It was raw. I was getting a little confused.
Yeah.
That timing was really, really good. And when you say you really think he has that much heat, listen to the crowd. You know, like, there is no way that if I was booking that when the match between Ray finally hits that spot, which it will, you know, at some point, because that's the payoff, that Dominic beats his ass. You know, they all beat up on Ray, you know, and Dominic gets that win because he needs to, you know, he has so much heat. Wait, he's going to get even more heat. Let him win. Let him win. He got enough people that can do enough screw job finishes, you know, and enough talent, you know, in that group of people that it's all going to, like, you could have a 20-minute match with him in the first 5 or 8 minutes, do whatever you're going to do, and then that last 10 to 12 minutes just blow the roof off. You know, so it's going to be really interesting to see how he's going to, you know, be used moving forward. But I think the kid looks great, and he's got natural heat, you know, because of all of this. Very likable kid in person, but can you really get that heat? And we have real heels now.
Yeah.
That's a thing that hasn't been around. Like, I talk about it over and over again. And which brings us to the next thing on the show, which was Bayley, you know, and Candice LeRae. You got to feel, you know, after, you know, just doing the ladder match, this is Bayley going to kill her. Oh, no. Again, just when you think you know, you don't know. Now, of course, they got all their heat back.
Yes, they did.
You know, right after that, which I thought, again, was great. Like, there was one point where right in the beginning of my – it wasn't the push. I'd won Lord of the Rings, which was, you know, our King of the Ring, and got the ring and all that. And then I have this match with Eddie, and – he slips over with, this is the beginning of what would become our feud. He slips over with a schoolboy and gets his hand raised, and then I attack him. And then I hit 3 diamond cutters on him, grab the belt off the rep, and whip him, and Chavo comes in. So they're safe. Chavo's 20 years old. He's had 10 matches. You never would know it. You know, I thought for sure he'd be working for a few years, at least. But it got the heat back from the loss. And that's what, you know, these kids did. And they left with some really, really good heat. And Bayley is she already is. She's a hell of a heel.
She is, in my opinion, one of the strongest all around performers in all professional wrestling. I think she's that good. And it's good to see her healthy again. And as you said, you've said it multiple times, elevating. She elevates everybody that she's in there with. That's what a great talent does. And did that get us to Brock Lesnar? Because that's a pretty big deal.
That was a pretty big deal. You know, first of all, they're pulling all the guns out. It's a season premiere. It's like, we want you to know shit's different now. You know, like, it's the same, but it's different now. And they pulled out all the guns for this. You know, Bobby coming out there, I knew something was up a little bit because the champion never goes out first. You know, so I knew something was up, but I didn't see that coming. And then I didn't see him come out there and just, you know, beating up on Bobby, you know, and I didn't see that coming. It kind of made sense because it gets them off on a different program. Mm-hmm. Gets the title off of him because Seth comes out. I want the match. I want the match. He's the ultimate tweener. The people, Seth is at that spot. They love to hate him. He's got that Ric Flair spot. You know, they love him. And depending who he's out there with, they hate him. You know, he did it for Cody big time. You know, because Cody was the ultimate babyface there, coming over, coming back. And Seth, you know, the whole thing, those matches were freaking amazing. Amazing right. matches. And then to go out there after Riddle dropped, and I taped my ribs for a year, so it made me laugh that he taped them all the way up to the top of them. But he played that.
Yeah.
He played it beautifully and sold like crazy. Him and Bobby both did. And then to get the strap. So win, lose, or whatever, Seth Rollins gets over. So so he's mastered that art. So I thought it was magic, man. I thought both shows were great. And I challenge anybody. Of course, you're going to have your haters that are going to go into all the whatever negative shit they can pull out, but really hard to do, you know, on that, you know, those last two shows.
I'll say this, Dallas. I think right now WWE is dealing with more goodwill than it has in a long time from its fan base. I'd say probably close to 10, 15 years in terms of your fan base having trust in you to tell a great story and, most importantly, to ensure that they go home happy. And when you build goodwill with your fan base, you can afford to have a mishap every now and then because they will be back tuning in the next week because they know that they're going to be entertained. They know they're going to get a great show and they know they're going to be rewarded for paying attention. And I think what we've seen in these first 3 months or so of Paul Levesque's booking has definitely changed some perception in that sense. And goodwill can carry WWE a long way here in terms of growing the audience. And I think that's a good thing all around.
One of the things I think that, I don't think you're going to see as much of why the fuck did they do that?
That's what I mean. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, because there were so many times they would be building something and then they'd pull it away. And you'd go, what? Why did you just do that? You just gave this guy this spot and then you just beat the living hell out of him. Why? You know, so I don't think you're going to see a lot of that. You know,
I agree.
And there's a real, you know, defining line, not through everyone, because Roman is his own animal. You know, Seth is his own animal. But there's a defined line between babyface and heel. Not everywhere, but more than there's been in a long time. And letting the heels get heat. That's one of the things that I didn't see happen as much. Oh, never mind the beep. Without doing beep, they just cut off every shit and every fuck. Like, and there was plenty of both from the beginning of the show. And I thought it was funny as hell in the DX bit. The first bit that came on was putting the censored over the guy's mouths. Later, all you heard was nothing. Because if something was said in that ring and it happened multiple times, you didn't hear anything. Wasn't a beep, and it wasn't, because it would have had to go beep, 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 beep. So all they did was eliminate, and I thought it was really smart. They eliminated the volume so you never heard anything. That makes sense?
Yep. You're dumping the audio, yeah.
Yeah, and so when you dump the audio like that, they got a 7-second delay. When you dump the audio like that, you can say whatever you want. And everyone knows how to fill in the gap.
Exactly.
Well, you don't get any of the problems with the FCC or any of that. Plus, you get to push the envelope. No, we're the hippest cat on the block.
Yeah.
And we have all these avenues to do it. So as hard as it is to get a good rating today, I'd be really interested to see, you know, what the ratings were. I know we shot this on Tuesday and it airs on Wednesday, but it came out today at some point, that ratings. I'd be interested to see, did it move the needle having the DX and letting those guys come out and thank the, you know, the people for the 25 years. And I love what Sean said at the end of the night of, you got to promise me if we're back here 25 years from now, just shoot us. Thought that was really funny. But, you know, the people, they want to see, they don't need to do anything. You know, just like if I come out, you know, they want to see their guys do just one thing. You know, in this scenario, as I'm having them together, not having Billy there was kind of different, you know, because he was, at least he was there for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad that they let him come back in and do that, but not to TV. And I knew they wouldn't do that, you know, because it's someone else's TV. You know?
Well, he's doing great in his own right right now with the
Eclipse. No, he's doing great. Boys are doing great.
Yep.
And they step up every week.
Oh, yeah.
Every week they get, you know, they get more confidence in what they're doing. They look good. Their stuff in the ring is really good. And totally understandable when you got your old man who's got to be 50-something and still, like, as hard as this table. Like, he is the true He-Man of everybody. I really don't know how he, you know, it's kind of like Sylvester Stallone stays in that insane shape 24/7. And then the last thing, of course, they didn't have to change anything but play the White Rabbit thing again. And that was, again, it was like it was live because, you know, they filmed it live. And then to have it, the only way you knew that it was not in that arena was the kid who, when they went to, what character was it? I think it was the orange face alien looking thing. There's some kid in the white light of the camera, because if you didn't see that was him, you would have thought it was in another arena that they did that. Yeah. Because I knew it set me off. Like, are they doing this again? He must be going to come out. And then, of course, he didn't. And they didn't need to. You know, I can't wait to see what happens with Bray and how he's booked moving forward under the new deal.
Me too, man. It's an exciting time right now to be a pro wrestling fan. And you've got some hot products, some great talent. Now it's just a matter of how do you execute great storytelling. So I'm hoping and I'm confident for the first time in a really long time. I'm really confident in WWE's ability to deliver on that. So I'm excited, man. It should be great. I enjoyed this conversation with you. Anything else you want to throw out there, Dallas?
Nope. That's it, baby. That's it.
That's it, man. That's another episode of DDP Snake Pit. In the pit for you guys. We got Sting next week. We're talking all things Sting. Jake will be back with us. It's going to be a great episode. Don't miss it. That's Diamond Dallas Page. I'm John Abbott. We'll see you next week right here on DDP Snake Pit.
See ya.